Okay, so the last thing that we learned, and I think we actually started discussing this Mishnah, but we'll start again from the beginning, was the question of whether if you had to tear out the nega. Remember that there are times when you have to be serif the beget, and there are times where you just tear it out. So what was that? That was where at the end of Hezger, the second Hezger, after you did the kivus. And what happened was is that the Kohen comes back and he finds keha hanega. So now the nega at the end of the second week of Hezger in the beget is dull. So if it's dull, it's not yirak rak and it's not adam dam. And therefore, it's no longer tummy. But in order to be metayaren, you need to tear out that part of the nega, and that part you have to get rid of. That other, and then if it comes back again, then it has to be burned completely. The whole beget has to be burned. So now the question is, we had a machlokas the last Mishnah, whether we need to replace the part that was torn out with a matlit, with a patch, or whether we can leave it unpatched. So now the question is, if the nega comes back and you didn't replace the patch, then that means that it came back on another place where it had not originally been, because you had already torn out the entire nega and did not patch it, right? So what would be the din there? Or what would be the din if you did replace it, but the nega comes back on the rest of the beged but doesn't show up on the matlit? Or what if it shows up on the matlit but doesn't affect the rest of the beged? Is it a different nega? What's the din? Chazar nega la beged matzil et hamatlit. So if it only comes back onto the beged itself, then this matlit is considered to be a new beged that was never affected by a nega. So even though you burn the whole beged, you do not have to burn the matlit because it was not part of it and it never had a nega. So you can't say chazar. It wasn't chazar to the matlit. And the Torah only said to be burning it and the time when it's chozer. So it's not a chozer. It's not tera e'od. It's not to be seen again. It's not again. How about if it comes back onto the area of the matlit? Then the beged definitely does have to be burned, because now, since the matlit is bottled to the beged, so it's as if the beged itself already was a chozer, and therefore we have to burn it. What about the matlit itself? The matlit area doesn't have to be burned, but it has to be put into hezger, as if it's a new nega vis-a-vis the matlit. Fine, amazing situation. Now, how about in the event that the nega was actually keha, and the coloration of the nega was keha after the second hezger? You tore out the piece, and then the din is, remember that if it's chazer, it's ira od, then you have to burn it. And then what happened is that during that time, before it looked like it ever came back, everything was fine, so you took a piece from the original beged, and you use the beged to patch a hole in another beged. Now the nega comes back to the first beged, or to that matlit, that the patch that we had made from the beged itself, which is now on another beged. What would be the din over there? So if somebody is tole is the word for matlit, right? So somebody being tole means that he used a piece of the actual beged to be a matlit on another beged, and he had taken it off a beged that had been musgar, and now the nega comes back onto the original beged. So then not only do you have to burn the beged, but you have to burn every piece of the beged that you had taken off and used for any other purpose. So now if you had put on, let's say, a nice little patch of leather on your sweater, on your elbows, you know, so now you got a beautiful sweater, you're going to have to rip it off because it's part of the leather coat that had the beged on it that we said has to be burned. So therefore, you're going to have to be soref et hamatlit as well. What about if the nega comes back dafka to the little piece, the patch that is on your elbow? You have to burn the whole beged because the fact that you detached it doesn't mean anything. Who cares you detached it? This was the beged from which you had originally been metayer the beged, and the Torah said the day it comes back, the whole thing is going to be tummy. So if it comes back only to the patch, so then if the Beged HaRishon for sure has to be burned. Now, as far as the Beged HaSheni is concerned, obviously I'm going to have to burn the patch, right? That's for sure. Now the question is, however, remember that the patch is currently part of your sweater. So now the question is, what do we do now with your sweater that has a new nega vis-a-vis the sweater? It's a new nega, but vis-a-vis the patch, it's an old nega. Fascinating issue. Similar to the first one where the matlit serves as a need to burn the beged. But the matlit itself, I should mention, by the way, that it has to be the size of it, has to be shalash al shalash, right, in order to be considered to be a beged on its own. Fine. But it is treated differently. It is looked at as a new nega vis-a-vis the patch. But over here, we have the opposite situation. The patch is vadai needs to be burned. However, it also is a nega on your sweater. So if I rip the patch off and I burn it now, I'm never going to be able to define the din of your sweater because I'm not going to be able to be mazgir the nega part on your sweater. So therefore, do not burn the patch yet. Wait and see what happens because that way you'll be able to determine what the din is of the sweater. So teshamesh et habeged hasheni b'simanim. Currently, where it's part of your sweater, let's wait and see what happens. So we put your sweater into Hezger. Once we determine what happened to the nega part and apply it to the sweater, then we'll know what the din is. Then we can go back to burning the matlit, not to be confused. I shouldn't say matlit because it's confusing. The part that you were tole, which is a matlit, but it's the part of the actual beged. Okay? So we've had these two mishnayos defining the relationship of patches, either that were put on the original beged, which we've called the matlit, or if you were toile from an original beged onto a different beged, what would be the din? Okay, now getting back to coloration. We said, at the beginning of the parak, we said that only begadim that are white can become tame from the goyim. What is the din of a striped shirt? So over there, every stripe on its own may not have a shiur of a kugris. Can you be mitzarev, one stripe to the next? If the nega goes through an area which is, let's say, blue, and then it goes directly into the next part, which is white, what's the halach over there? How about pisayon? Can you be poseh from one stripe to another stripe? Even though in order to be poseh, we would have to consider the area which is a different color and not subject to negayim. We'd have to consider it to be part of the same nega. So this, it needs to be determined. So suppose you have a kaita. Sheyesh ba pispasim tzvoim velevanim. Okay, so you've got this sweater and it's got these lines on it. Kseinez pasim. So this is a pispasim, and each one of these stripes alternates with a white stripe. So the halacha over there is that the white stripes can be poseh from one white stripe to a different white stripe, even though they're not literally right next to each other. But it does require one thing. It's different than normal pisayon. Normal pisayon is any pisayon of any size. In this case, the nega that appears in the next part, that is a stripe of white, has to be a gris, and therefore it has to be made as its own nega. In which case, the pisayon is a different concept. So suppose it would spread from a stripe on the right side of the shirt to a stripe on the left side of the shirt, which are not adjacent to each other. It would still be considered to be pisayon. So they ask Rabbi Eliezer, and what if the place where the nega was the only white stripe, one stripe, and there's no place for it to be poset. There's no more room. So then what? Does it make any kind of normal higayon to put this into Hezger? How are we going to see whether there was a pision or not? There's nowhere else on this baguette that it can spell, it can spread to. Amar lam lo shamati. I was not mekabel from my rabbeim what the halacha is. And I know the halacha, I mean, I know, but what the svara is, I don't know. I know that you always have to put into Hezger. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, again, we had the same situation earlier. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira said, Rabbi, can I say something about this? So again, just like before, Rabbi Eliezer says to him, it depends. If you're a smart aleck and you're coming to explain why what I know is wrong and that what my rabbeim taught me is wrong, I'm not interested. If you got something intelligent to add and you can tell me why they're right, I'm very interested. Please, go ahead. So, im lekayem divrei chachamim? Yes, absolutely. Hey, Amarlo, yep, I definitely have something intelligent to add, and it's going to be mekayem the divrei chachamim. What would be the dinners like this? Put it into Hezker, because Shema Yamod bo shnei shavuot. What if it remains the same color for 2 weeks? What's the din? The din by begadim is that a omed begadim shnei shvuot is tamei. And if I don't put it into Hezker, I won't know. So you're right, there'd be no purpose of putting it into Hezker in terms of pision. But I need to put it into Hezker just in terms of omed. Oh, said Rabbi Eliezer, you're a smart guy. Chacham gadolata. Not because you said something so intelligent, but because kiyamta divrei chachamim. I don't say over things that I wasn't mekabel. But very good. It makes a heck of a lot of sense to me. Okay. So then that means that there are two different types of pision when it comes to a beged. One is the normal pision, which does not have a shear. So if there's room in the stripe, and you don't have to appear in a different place on your shirt, so then it would be any little amount, because pision is always a kol shu. As long as we've detected a spread, that spread is metame. But on the other hand, if it appears in a different stripe on another place of the shirt, which we learned that dafka legabe begadim is considered to be a pision of the original nega, it would only be if it's the size that is metame as a nega. So it would have to be a gris itself. So hapision hasamuch, if there's room to be paisa in this stripe, so then any kind of spread, just like in nigea or kol shu, is enough to be metame. But if it's spreading to a distant stripe and it's not adjacent, so then it has to be the size of a gris, because otherwise we don't see it as a nega bichlal to connect it to the first nega. In the case of a chozer, where we said the moment that the nega comes back, you have to burn it, a chozer does not mean any little spot. A chozer means a shear of a nega. That's chozer. And a shear of a nega, of course, is kigris. So that means either spreading to a different place or chozer to the same place has to be the shear of a kigris. That completes the din of nige begodim, literally begodim. But remember that the Torah added into the parsha of begodim an amazing new idea, which is, oh, but either in the pishtim or the tzemer, could be either in the shasi or the erev. Oh my gosh. Now that would mean that even if it's just in the threads, because otherwise, what's the point of saying, oh, b'shasi, oh, b'erev? You're telling me it's in the beged, so then I understand that it's in the shasi or the erev. So therefore, when it says, oh, b'shasi, oh, v'erev, la pishtim v'la tzemer, then the halacha is that the actual threads themselves can become tamei. But how in the world would you have a kagris on a thread? Remember, the kagris has to be a kagris squared, and a thread, where do you ever get a thread that's the size of a kagris? So what could it possibly mean? So therefore, we understand that what the Torah is saying is a tremendous chiddush, that if you have a spool of thread and the nega spreads on the spool across various threads, and the shear of the nega on the cross area is a total of a kegris, it's considered to be one nega. You see how this follows immediately from the previous discussion, right? Because over there we're talking about even if you've got a stripe on a shirt, it's not considered to be one nega unless you have the kegris in each one of the stripes. But when it comes to the din of the threads over there, we take a look at the spool itself. Even if we would take the thread off the spool, obviously there couldn't possibly be a gris b'mokam echad. So now we're moving on to this new idea. Hashasi v'ha'erev. So we're going to be talking about the dinim now of a variant nega, which is a nega b'shasi v'ha'erev. So first of all, they're mitamim b'negoyim miyad, according to the Tanakhama. So the moment that they're spun onto the spool, even though the norm is that when you have woolen threads after spinning, you put them through another steaming in order to make them very white, doesn't need to have a gmar malacha. Now, normally, remember, when it comes to tuma, something where it's not nigmar malachto is not considered to be shayach to be makabel tuma. So you would think, therefore, that when it comes to the idea of the shasi or the erev, it's no different than anything else. Even though it's a tremendous chiddush, because normally a thread is not mekabel tumah, only a beged is mekabel tumah. And this halach of Kabbalah's tumah of shasi ve'erev is a chiddush akra, a gzeres hakosov of negoyim and only negoyim. But you would think that the normal halachas of requiring a gemar malacha would still apply. So therefore, if you didn't yet do the shlika, you didn't do the steaming of the woolen threads, they're not ready yet, and not ready is not tuma. No, says the Tanakhama, the chiddush of the posuk of Shiva Erev is chal on the raw thread as soon as it's called a thread. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's the same as any other tuma. And the shasi threads, in the case we'll see, it's only Betsemer, but shasi threads that are the thin threads that provide the main look of the beged, they're only going to be tame once they were boiled up. They were steamed, because that makes them turn white, and we wouldn't use them if we didn't have perfectly formed threads. The erev, okay, those are not, people are not makbid to boil them, and so because of that, they would be considered to be gemar malacha before. But gemar malacha is gemar malacha. I mean, you can't get away without gemar malacha. And if you're, that's about wool. Now, if you're talking about linen, ha'unin shopishtan, mishiyit labnu, when it comes to those bundles that they would put linen on, so they're tameh for sure, only once you heat them. You don't boil them, but you heat them, you put them in an oven. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, we don't need for there to be gemar malachas. According to them, they would become tamei right away. Mashenken, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they do not. So there's a difference between the wool and the linen and the processing, which is why we separate them. One is in the tanur, mishiyit labnu, and one is in the shlika. But the idea is the same. Gemar malacha is necessary according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the question is, how much thread has to be on the spool in order for it to be metame b'negayim? Kama yehei b'paka'at u'tehei metam'a b'negayim. There needs to be, now here we do have a shear, not just the gris, because we have one layer, let's say, of threads that went around the spool. That's not going to be metame, because the shear of beged is still chal on thread. How is that? You need to have enough thread that you would be able to theoretically weave a beged of 3 by 3. And when we say that, listen, it doesn't mean literally. Let's say you only have a spool of thread which is warp thread, or a spool of thread which is weft thread. Now, lamaisa, you are not going to weave just from warp or just from weft thread. I mean, it's not a normal way to weave, and it would be very difficult to use the threads that way. But that's not important to us in defining the shear. The shear is enough thread. I don't give a hang whether it's all warp or all weft. I'm not talking about the actual use of these threads to make a beged. What I'm saying is that if this thread were to be used to make an entire baguette, so we could magically turn part of it into warp and part of it into weft, there would be enough for us to make a baguette of shalash al shalash, which is the shear, then you have a large enough spool of thread in terms of how much thread, and then the surface of the spool will be tame with the shear of a ka'adasha. Strange kind of shear, right? But okay, so this is like a very special halacha in dinei tumah. And therefore you need kedei le'arog mimeno shalash al shalash between the shasi and the erev together. I don't care whether this particular spool is kula shasi. I don't care if this particular spool is kula erev, but the shear is exactly the same. We pretend that we would have enough. Now, how about if the very often, especially in those days, wouldn't have this big manufacturing of threads where you get miles and miles of thread that are being spun onto these enormous, which I'm sure you've seen, the manufacturing process of threads today. In those days, you know, a woman would spin a little bit of thread one day, spin a little bit of thread another day, and they would tie the ends together, you know, in order to get a long piece of thread. I mean, how are you going to have a piece of thread that's long? So suppose they just put the separate threads, they put it on a pakia. So they rolled each thread, and she brought every day, she brought a little bit of thread, so she's got like 2 feet of thread one day, 2 feet of thread another day, and they just put it on, and they didn't tie it, they just put the thread onto this, on this spool. So I tap sikot, enim etam ebin egayim. If they're not tied together, then it's not considered to be a real shasiva erev. It needs to be an actual long thread of shasir erev. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, even if there was psika achat, even if what happened over there was that there were, you had originally, you have a thread, but it was torn, and you put it together, it's still not metame. You need to have an actual thread without tying it artificially. It needs to be a natural thread. So we've got now three machlokas in really with Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. Two binogea gemar malacha, one of wool and one of the pishtim. And then we also have this machlokas about whether we're able to go ahead and tie the threads together in order to be able to be metame.